My guest at this time is Texas Congressman Kevin Brady, Republican from the Lone Star State's 8th Congressional District. He's also a member of the House Ways and Means Committee, as well as he's the top Republican on the Joint Economic Committee. We want to get his final thoughts heading into this weekend's expected vote on either the health care legislation or the rule that would deem and pass the health care legislation. Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
Greg, thanks for having me.
Well, as a member of the Ways and Means Committee, of course, that's the panel that's tasked with writing the tax laws. You have mentioned in the last couple of days that if, in fact, this legislation is approved, we're going to see a huge expansion of the IRS. Explain why.
Well, the bill is so complex and has 15 new tax increases and a whole lot of mandates on reporting. So they will have to add over 16,000 new IRS personnel to collect, examine, and audit all the information that's required in this bill from families and small businesses.
And in terms of what folks will have to keep track of, report to the government, how extensive is that?
It's going to be very extensive. They're going to see, people will see more complicated tax returns. Families and small businesses will be forced to reveal further tax information. They'll have to provide proof of government-approved health care to the IRS, and then submit, for businesses, submit detailed sales tax information to comply with the new taxes. So it is, we're looking back in history, the largest expansion of the IRS since withholding taxes were put in place during World War II.
Now, part of this, of course, is to make sure that under this plan that folks have purchased governmentally acceptable health care packages. But in terms of the tax laws here, we hear about some general numbers. Explain what taxes are going to be affected and which ones will be affected most.
Well, there are a number of taxes on people who have health care today. Those who are supposedly in those Cadillac taxes will pay over $100 billion in new taxes. You know, people who, small businesses and professionals who make over $200,000 will see new taxes, especially on Medicare and on capital gains and dividends and other things. There'll be new taxes on health insurance providers, which ultimately people pay, new taxes on individuals and employers, if they don't have that government-approved plan. There'll be new taxes on drug manufacturers, medical devices, even wheelchairs that, again, ultimately just plain people pay. So all this adds up to $569 billion of new tax increases, which is just a staggering amount.
Typical American family, and I guess it's kind of hard to define typical right now, but how much of a difference will they see in April or in their paychecks each month?
You know, it's hard to know depending on their situation, but they're going to face a much more complicated IRS form when they file their taxes. And as you know, because you're required to have them, if they lose health care for any period, you know, they're going to have to report that to the IRS as well as and defending their plan to make sure that it is government approved. So it's April 15th is actually going to come around throughout the year for most families.
We're talking with Texas Congressman Kevin Brady. And Congressman, you and I have obviously talked about this issue month after month on all the different twists and turns here. I assume regardless of whatever procedure the Democratic leadership puts in place, there will be time for some debate either on the bill itself or on the rule that would deem the bill passed. Assuming you get a couple of minutes on the floor, which I'm sure you will, how will you focus your thoughts given the many different aspects of this?
Well, that is it is difficult because people, I think, are rejecting this bill for many different reasons. And, you know, it's just the questions they're asking. You know, do we have to cut $500 billion from Medicare, you know, to pay for a new health care entitlement when Medicare is already insolvent? You know, who's going to pay? What middle-class families are going to pay all those new taxes? Do we have to raise the price of health care on those who have it to pay for those who don't? And can we afford all this? You know, the numbers they see, they know are funny numbers because there's so many gimmicks in this bill. They know ultimately this will run huge deficits. So people are very concerned. Those are the questions I'm going to raise in debate.
Congressman, in terms of the vote count, Democrats are certainly hoping that we believe that the momentum is on their side right now. What are you hearing? And if they do have the momentum, what's the reason for it?
You know, I think they're trying to create a sense of inevitability and also basically say our legacy and the president's legacy is on the line here. And I think the argument they use the most is we need to get this behind us. But I don't think the public will allow this to get behind them because this is so wildly unpopular. And because of all the secrecy and the backroom deals that have just pervaded this whole debate, you know, I think that they're going to pay a very steep price at the ballot box in November. And I still think the Senate is not bound by what the House does. And so, you know, the fight isn't exactly over, even if somehow they squeak out enough votes.
From what, one thing you just said there, some Democrats are seizing on that when your colleagues are saying that there could be a big price to pay in November. They say your focus is on November. Their focus is on helping families that need help. How do you respond to that allegation?
Well, if their focus was on November, or if their focus was on the American public, they'd be listening to them, because the American public simply wants us to focus on lowering health care costs. And this bill doesn't do it. It's a complex, massive takeover that drives up health care costs. It's one of the reasons most of the public is just scratching their heads and don't support it. So, you know, I really think that the best thing that could happen for the country is for this to fail and for them to sit down finally with the Republicans and come up with a step-by-step improvement that really can be embraced by all America.
Congressman, you mentioned the backroom deals. That was certainly part of the Senate debate here. There's also been rumors that that's what's happening here in terms of adding some ideas either to the reconciliation process or something else to get some of these fence-sitting Democrats. Any insight on that?
Yeah, there are a number already surfacing this morning of deals that have been cut in Tennessee, in North Dakota, and in Ohio, specific to certain members of Congress. I think that's one of the reasons we haven't seen the final bill on this through the Rules Committee. Is they're still trying to make some of those backroom deals. I think we'll see and hear more of that before this is over. Unfortunately, if you've got a good bill, the public supports, you don't have to buy those types of votes.
Well, Congressman, it's been an extremely long debate, and it really doesn't end here because one thing coming up, of course, is the Senate has to deal with these proposed changes. I know you and a lot of your colleagues have been warning your fellow Democrats that just because you get something into this proposal for the follow-up bill, it's not going to become law. What do you expect to happen if, in fact, this gets to the Senate?
You know, I think Senate Republicans that have, again, had a very open-door policy, wanted to work with the president all along, are going to have a number of amendments, and they're going to knock down a number of things to pass through the House. So I don't think this is done yet. Even by getting around the 60-vote margin in the Senate, I still think it's going to be a fight over there. And again, I think there'll be real constitutional challenges, even if this does make it to the president's desk.
Congressman, you've been so good to be with us at every step in this debate. Thanks again for your time today.
Thanks, Greg. Appreciate it.
Texas Congressman Kevin Brady represents his state's 8th Congressional District, member of the House Ways and Means Committee, a top House Republican also on the Joint Economic Committee. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.